Carl Maria von Weber's Der Freischütz, performed by the Virginia Opera this weekend at the Carpenter Theater. That's tonight at 8 o'clock and Sunday afternoon at 2:30. I'm very pleased to welcome some guests to the studio from Virginia Opera, our good friend, principal conductor and artistic advisor Adam Turner, along with soprano Kara Shea Thompson and tenor Corey Bix. Welcome to the studio, y'all.
Thanks, Mike. Thank
you. So good to have you here. And Adam, this is really fun to have some Weber, not something we've heard in Virginia for a long time.
I don't really know the last time there was any theatrical performances of a piece by Carl Maria von Weber. This is a really unique opportunity for Virginia audiences, and especially even nationally. You know, the Met hasn't done this since the 1970s. This is a really rare opportunity to see an incredible work.
And Weber was sort of the founder of the German Romantic opera, who influenced later composers like, of course, Richard Wagner.
Absolutely. Wagner, I mean, this is the forefather to everything that came after. With Wagner, Strauss, Berlioz, all these people that really used leitmotifs in their symphonies and in their theatrical works, this was the guy that paved the way.
And Der Freischütz may be his most popular opera, sort of the first German Romantic opera as people remember it. So tell me a little bit about the musical characteristics of Weber's work.
Well, you know, for me, it's uniquely the orchestra. The orchestration is very unique. He really paved the way for some innovations in techniques that are used throughout the orchestra. And he was truly a singer's composer. I think he must have been married to a singer. Or certainly had dated a few, and worked in the theater regularly. And so he knew what the singers needed. He could write for the voice, and I think you'll hear from Kara Shea and Corey just how that worked.
I was going to say we might want to ask for the singer's perspective on this.
Oh, Lord. Well, yes, his music is very singable. It's very similar to, for me, roles like Florestan and some like Siegmund and things that Wagner wrote. I mean, it's definitely, the lines are long and... I mean, it's challenging. It's very rangy and a lot of high and low. And
I think it's challenging as well.
Well, and we have a clip, actually, of Corey singing one of the most challenging parts. It's from his Act One aria. We brought a little excerpt, and this is a theme that is used in the overture, actually.
So. All right. Let's take a listen. We are talking about Der Freischütz by Carl Maria von Weber, performed this weekend at the Carpenter Theater. Adam Turner, I always ask you this when you come in with a different opera. We have to talk a little bit about the plot because some folks that are heading out there tonight or Sunday or interested in going, they want to know what this is all about.
Yeah. Well, what I've been saying is that it's a boy loves girl, girl loves boy story. But the boy has been having a little bit of difficulty with his aim at shooting practice, and he's about to do this shooting competition in which the prize, he wins the bride. He wins this woman that he loves. Well, he needs some help, so he bargains with the devil for some magic bullets, and therein lies the conflict and all of the stuff, the drama that happens.
So for once, this is not a love triangle. We
not
seem to be talking about that every time. So go ahead and elaborate on this. We have the two lovers, shall we say, here in the studio.
Yeah. Well, and Kara Shea, I mean, you are the leading lady, but you're a cousin. You have a cousin who has a bunch of arias along with you. But yeah, you're the female.
I definitely am the leading lady, as you say. But I think it is boy meets girl, boy loves girl. But also, I think the magical aspect of it is definitely portrayed within the orchestra as well. And it gives us a chance to kind of play the magical, mystical part as well as the classical opera in the same time. And I think Weber really, I agree with you, Adam, that he must have had a wonderful soprano that he was in love with, because he definitely, for my part, I feel like, and for the duets and trios that I get to be a part of, he definitely has given me the best parts of what I can do to sing. And so I think that that also contributes to the character development and the reason that Max falls so deeply in love with me.
Yes, definitely. That's why there's no love scene in this opera.
Well, we just so happen to have a clip from her first aria in Act Two, which is usually known as Liza, Liza, here known as Gently, Gently, I think.
I think so,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So I think that clip, it's hard to listen to yourself sometimes, but what I love about this work is that it's like getting to sing German Lieder along with an explosive aria. So he really requires you to have all parts of what you can possibly do. And I've been able to sing Fidelio before, and there are some similarities, but the lyrical line of the Weber composition is so luscious and simple, so exposed, and it requires, I think, great control on all parts of the singers, including the chorus, to even the soloists within the orchestra, because you're mimicking each other as a singer. You have to sound like an instrument, and then they have to sound like a singer. So I love the way that he was able to weave all of that together into one composition.
You know what I also find really interesting is that who Weber, the other composers, his people that he was working around at the same time. And this is 1821. We have Beethoven is sketching his Ninth Symphony at the same time. He's worked on his Hammerklavier Sonata. The Rossini's Barber Seville was premiered just a few years prior. This piece doesn't sound anything like those works to me.
No, I was going to say this doesn't really fit in at all.
No, it truly doesn't.
So different.
He has such a unique voice, and that's why I really can't stress enough to our audiences, you've got to see this. You've just got to see it. And we brought along a scene from, there's a very famous Wolf's Glen scene, which is basically a 15-minute tour de force for the orchestra and also the singers on stage. And this is where Max enters the forest to bargain with the devil to find these magic bullets. And you actually hear one of our characters named Zamiel, who's played by Jake Gardner, an old veteran of Virginia Opera stages. You hear him conjuring the bullets and saying, you know, five, six. And then he gets to the seventh magic bullet. And all breaks
very
loose.
Spooky music
and
the supernatural involved in this is so different from anything of the time.
Absolutely, the color, the sonorities that he gets out of the orchestra, and what he does with the voices to further that drama along is just incredible.
So when you go to the opera and you listen to this tonight or Sunday, think about Beethoven's Ninth and see if you can draw any connection. Right?
Absolutely.
I wonder if we can. I'll be thinking about that when I'm in the audience.
Well, I
now.
Think in this next clip, he's conjuring the fifth bullet. You're going to hear a little bit of Wagner. To me, it sounds like Ride of the Valkyries for a split second.
Yeah, okay. So.
Well, I mean, so you can hear there sheer terror on the stage. And of course, you could hear Jake Gardner in the background counting to seven, to the seventh conjured bullet. You know, we should say Jake is celebrating a career milestone with these performances. It's his 10th production with Virginia Opera. He was in our very first show back in 1975, actually. But he's back now for his 10th production, and he's celebrating his 100th and 101st role debuts. In
amazing.
His 40
Congratulations.
Plus career. Yeah,
yes.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
So another thing to tell you is that, and to tell our audiences, is that this show is being performed in English.
That's important. Some people get scared off by the foreign languages. So the ability to hear it in English, and you have subtitles all as well, don't you?
Absolutely. So you always will understand, you keep up with the plot twists and all of that. But we really wanted to Americanize the piece a little bit, because that's been one of the challenges to why it's not performed in America more often. Mm. It's a very Germanic piece, a German folklore and mythology. And we took Washington Irving as our model stylistically, because he wrote The Legend of Sleepy Hollow at the same exact time Weber wrote this piece. And so that was kind of the reasoning behind the English translation, adaptation. And it's worked out quite nicely. I think it's a really great translation.
There was a lot going on in the world at that time, wasn't there?
There was.
I didn't even realize when I thought about this.
Truly.
Are there any specific challenges for the singers in this work compared to some other operas? I scared you off
dialogue.
With that.
Spoken dialogue. I mean, there's a lot of dialogue in this piece. So for us to have to turn off our singer voice and go into this more theatrical, not theatrical, but stage acting kind of thing, that's very intimidating to a lot of us. But we got through it, and it's now much easier than it was at the beginning. But I mean, that's definitely a challenge for a lot of us.
You wanted to add something, Kara?
I was just going to say that, yes, for most of us, the recitative is usually where we feel the most comfortable if we have to do a dialogue of some kind. But having to do spoken dialogue, and especially doing it in English, because then if we make up a word, everyone knows that you've, you know, kind of switched the dialogue
yep.
around a bit.
That's
so
right.
Actually singing in English and speaking in English is a challenge to American singers and native English speakers, too. So, but it has been really fun to be able to communicate in our native language with each other on stage and not have a barrier of a language barrier there. And so we hope it translates to the audience.
Well, Adam, Kara, and Corey, I thank you so much for stopping by and giving us a preview of what to expect.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Performances again tonight at 8 o'clock and Sunday afternoon at 2:30 at the Carpenter Theater, the Virginia Opera with Weber's Der Freischütz.